Welcome to iNurse Radio, brought to you by the International Nurses Association.
Hello, and welcome once again to iNurse Radio, where we feature some of the world's top experts in the field of nursing. Our goal, with the help of our guest, is to shed light on health-related topics that are important to all of us. My name is John Rivera. Thanks for being with us. Today, we are speaking with nurse, clinical consultant, and author Jane Gabaidon. We're speaking about healthcare regulations. Healthcare not only affects our daily lives, but it is becoming more of a common topic addressed in the media as we near the presidential elections next year. Many people throughout the United States have strong opinions about our healthcare system, our regulations, and where improvements need to be made. What some people may not be aware of is that many of these rules and regulations are governed by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, also known as the HHS. The HHS implements portions of the Affordable Health Care Act, HIPAA privacy rules, the HITECH Act, and other laws and regulations. Jane's experience in the field of healthcare began after completing her undergraduate at Fordham University with a degree in biology. Upon graduation, she continued her education at the Borough of Manhattan Community College, where she obtained an associate's degree in nursing. Jane then gained invaluable experience as a nurse for nearly 20 years, spending the majority of that time working in long-term care within the nursing home industry. She took on various roles throughout her career as a medication treatment nurse, RN supervisor, wound care nurse, MDS coordinator, nurse educator, infection control nurse, and assistant director of nursing. Currently, Jane is the corporate director of nursing and regional clinical consultant for a New York-based long-term care organization that supervises over 29 facilities. Jane, it is a pleasure to have you here with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Of course, of course. Again, pleased to have you. Jane,
thank you.
Being that you've transitioned from a job as an entry-level nurse to a regional clinical consultant, has there been any regulation throughout the entire journey which you felt could be greatly improved? I'm sure you have a few earmarked.
Certainly. There are several recent changes to the regulation that definitely need some improvement and clarification. I'll mention two specifically. Number one is rehospitalization. Currently, hospitals are fined heavy monetary fines if a Medicare patient returns to the hospital under 30 days with complications related to the discharge diagnosis. This regulation does not take into account that despite the care provided, there are times that the human body will continue to deteriorate, and the skilled care that a patient may require cannot be provided in a long-term care setting. Neither does the regulation take into account a resident or family's request to be transferred back to the hospital. This regulation significantly impacts on patient care, as hospitals sometimes are hesitant to readmit residents or patients, and long-term care facilities are at times hesitant to send these patients back to the hospital. The other regulation that definitely can use some clarification is the Elder Justice Act. The Elder Justice Act is a regulation that mandates that local law enforcement must be called and same documented in our medical records when there is physical altercation between two patients in the nursing home. Okay. Failure to comply with this regulation will result in a citation. However, the regulation does not take into consideration whether one or both residents are cognitively impaired and that no charges can be filed against a cognitively impairment patient. The law does not allow the facilities to streamline or make the decision as to when the police should be called. It just simply states that whenever there is physical contact, the police must be called. This serves to tie up the resources of the local police and tie up the time of the staff in the facility that must prepare all this paperwork for the local police.
Surely. Wow, that's something else. Let me ask you, Jane, in terms of the readmittance issue, what do you have from your experience? Do you have a suggestion as to how that could be better handled, or is it just a circumstance where people need to get their heads together and kind of figure out a better option?
I think the government just has to try and figure out a better option. As stated, there are times that no matter the level of care that you provide, the body will continue to deteriorate, whether it's related to the same diagnosis or not. They will continue to deteriorate. You cannot reverse some disease processes. They just simply progress.
Mm-hmm.
So a readmission, of course, will be related to the progress of that disease process.
Well, that makes
perfect
sense.
But the law doesn't make allowance for that. It
wow.
just simply cites the hospital if the patient is readmitted with any complications related to that discharge diagnosis.
For certain, for certain. How closely, Jane, do government agencies work with institutions, medical institutions and what have you, that to assure that laws and rules and regulations are being observed properly?
Okay, I speak from the nursing home point of view.
Nursing
homes are surveyed in one of four ways. We're either surveyed annually for recertification. Secondly, based on complaints from residents and their families. Thirdly, when facilities report issues that we are mandated to report, or when cases are reported to the government anonymously. Based on the surveyor's review of documentation or the lack of documentation, a complaint may be substantiated or it may not be substantiated. A substantiated complaint does lead to severe financial penalties depending on the scope of that citation. Unfortunately, the enforcers, the government regulators of these rules, when they come into these environments, they come in like the police. Based on the most minor offense, a facility can be cited. On our side, there is often the feeling that we are not partners in the progress towards the common goal of our patients. And the enforcement that is handed down is not even-handed. For example, in 2014, Long Island, which is a very small portion of New York State, had one-third of the immediate jeopardy citations for the entire state. And for our listeners, immediate jeopardy comes with heavy monetary fines, and the reputation of the facility is also at stake.
For certain, for certain. And for those listeners that might not be necessarily familiar with the geography of New York, you know, an overhead map will show that it, I would say, it constitutes probably less than a tenth of the geographic area of New York, but. I would assume that it's the higher population, therefore meaning more facilities within that geographic area. Do you feel that that is the reason for the higher percentage of incidents, or is it a population issue exclusively, or is it just that happens to be the demographic in that area?
It's not necessarily that that area has more homes than other, any other area. It's just a matter of the enforcers that are in that area are more heavy-handed in the citations that are issued in that area. So just about every home in that area gets hit with heavier citations than in the other areas.
Sure, sure. And it seems to have become industry knowledge that the geography, the specific geographic area, tends that way. Are there other potential consequences if a health institution is found to be violating some of these regulations other than monetary?
Most residents in healthcare facility, their services are paid for by Medicare and Medicaid federal dollars. So when a facility is in violation of the regulation, the first thing the government does is imposes penalties, which translates into heavy monetary fines.
Sure.
Violations also give families and residents credence in the events of a lawsuit. Mm. And whether or not a claim is substantiated, any claim lodged against a facility becomes public record and negatively affects the facility. So it all comes down to the bottom line of monetary fines.
For certain. Are different institutions held to different standards? In other words, are hospitals comparative to, say, a nursing home or even a doctor's office treated differently? And, you know, what inconsistencies do you feel that there might be across the board in terms of the regulations?
I would say yes, healthcare regulations do vary by healthcare settings. Certain general policies, such as HIPAA, the Healthcare Privacy Act, fraud and infection control are the same for all settings, but quality of care is held to different standards in different settings. Because hospitals are acute settings, the standards are not as stringent. Nursing homes, on the other hand, are long-term care environments where most patients are expected to spend the rest of their lives once placed. So the regulations focus a lot more on quality of life, dignity, and patient rights than in any other settings.
Understood. Why do you feel, Jane, that healthcare regulation seems to be so complex? Do you think that healthcare regulation can ever be simplified?
Healthcare really is a holistic approach to patient care.
Sure.
Therefore, there has to be a regulation governing every aspect of that care. In many instances, we find it's not the complexity of the regulations, but rather the quantity of regulations governing each area.
I see. Sure. And there's a big difference there.
Yes, I do not see regulations becoming any more simplified, but rather more complex, without any significant benefits to the patients.
That's unfortunate.
Healthcare operates only by regulations, and it doesn't really take into consideration do the patients benefit significantly from any new regulation that's being implemented.
What are some of the bigger concerns for patients in the nursing homes in regards to those health regulations? Do you find that it's a potential structure or certain policies create more anxiety for them, or are they kind of oblivious to what's happening behind the scenes?
Yeah, good question. Regulations create anxiety for the providers, not the patients. Providers operate daily wondering if they have met all the regulatory variables for the care they have provided. During a survey, when the surveyors of the state or federal surveyors come in for our surveys, during survey, the anxiety level in a building is palpable. Even in facilities that provide quality care, as we often feel the focus is not on the care that we provided, but rather on the paperwork compliance.
Sure. No, that makes perfect sense. And, Jane, for current practicing nurses, are there any regulations that you feel go so far as to restricting them from performing their duties as care providers? As you say, the anxiety level can be very, very high, that fear factor, so to speak.
Right. Well, regulations, as they will tell you, are not implemented to restrict, but rather to enhance the duties and the responsibilities of healthcare providers. However,
sure,
some regulations do create constraints. For example, a resident with some cognitive impairment and has a terminal diagnosis, that resident has very poor appetite and significant weight loss. However, that resident repeatedly states, "I do not want a feeding tube." However,
right,
because that resident is documented as cognitively impaired, for us, the medical team, your hands are tied to honor that resident's wishes because the regulations state a documented cognitively impaired resident is not competent to make medical decisions.
Sure.
So you're forced to call in the
sense.
Family, the healthcare proxy, the legal representatives, and if their wish is not to honor that patient's request, then there's nothing you can do as a healthcare provider other than to flow with whatever their decision is.
Sure. Then, Jane, do you feel then that regulations exist that could potentially prevent patients from receiving quality care?
Yes. I think regulations that impact on placement or discharge from nursing homes can significantly impact on quality care. For example, Medicare pays for 100 days of skilled services when a patient is placed in a nursing home.
Okay.
When a patient no longer requires skilled services and Medicare no longer pays for their stay, and for whatever financial reason they're not qualified for Medicaid, this then becomes a financial burden on the family, who are now forced to use up all of that resident's resources to meet the financial need, or if they do not want to use up the resources, they're forced to take that resident home to care for them, even though sometimes these residents or patients are not medically stable.
Wow, that's truly alarming. I also imagine that some of these patients might require a higher level of medical expertise than their families can safely provide at home.
Right. But if they do not
need
what falls under the guidelines of skilled care, Medicare cannot pay for their services, and if they have had X amount of resources based on what's the government stipulation, then they will not qualify for Medicaid. So it's up to the family to use up that resident's resources or the family's resources to pay for their stay in an environment. And in a lot of cases, the families are not willing to do that, so they're willing to take this resident home, even though they require more care than families can sometimes provide.
Just terrible. Another controversial topic, Jane, regarding healthcare regulation is the HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A. For our listeners, though, who might not be familiar, this, and feel free to correct me if I misspeak at all, but I believe it to be a privacy rule that protects a patient's right to maintain sensitive information regarding their health records. Jane, what's your stance? I mean, not too many are more aware of the specifics and see it on the battlefront, so to speak. Do you think that this is a well-structured policy, or is there a need for improvement with the rule?
Okay. The HIPAA, which stands for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, was created to provide privacy protection to residents' health records. Healthcare institutions are permitted to share information on patients in order to ensure continuity of care. What the HIPAA regulation does is serve to ensure that patients' information is shared only amongst individuals responsible for direct patient care. I think the current policy will be further improved with the ongoing changes to technology that allow institutions to interface and share information.
So you think it's on the right track?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. A little bit of good news.
Yes.
A little sun on the horizon, that's good. And again, being that nurses work alongside medical doctors, did you ever sense that regulation was impacting the medical providers, the doctors and specialists? Do you ever feel that it was impacting their ability to treat patients, you know, whether it was a subtle impact or something more apparent?
I think it does. For us in these environments, we are fully aware that state regulations in the nursing homes, they do apply more to nursing than to the doctors. However, we've witnessed our doctors practice defensive medicine repeatedly due to the threat of lawsuits. Lawsuits, as we know, is a plague affecting the entire gamut of medical and nursing care.
Certainly.
There are instances that we're aware that the regulations do impact the doctor's ability to treat. I'll give an example. For example, if the primary doctor feels that a patient needs a Foley secondary to urinary retention, as the patient may have cancer, if that patient needs that Foley for a prolonged period of time, the state surveyors only feel the Foley usage is validated if the primary doctor orders a follow-up consult by a specialist, a urologist, to validate the doctor's reason. It's as though the primary doctor's reason for putting that Foley holds no weight until a consultant validates, although the patient has a medical need for that Foley.
Wow, that's alarming. Now, let me ask you this, Jane. You used the term defensive medicine, which I think is quite apropos, but how would you define that term for the listeners?
Defensive medicine is always documenting with the guidelines in mind. I think you're always wondering, I do provide the care. I think most healthcare providers have good intentions towards our patients on a regular daily basis. However, after that care is provided, there is always that defensive side of, did I dot every I, did I cross every T? Because when the regulators come, nobody takes word of mouth. Everybody looks for what's written or documented only. So your defensive mechanism comes more to the documentation part of making sure that after I've provided that care, I have appropriately documented every aspect of that care in the appropriate manner.
Wow. It truly seems like a shame that that's even something that medical providers such as yourself and those around you have to spend time fixating upon, when really that time could be better served towards patients. It's truly unfortunate. Jane, where do you see healthcare regulation in the next, say, 5 years? Do you feel that there's going to be a significant change in the near future, or do you feel that it's evolved to the point where it would only be minor adjustments at most?
Now, I would say healthcare regulations are forever evolving and will continue to evolve. The emergence of recent regulations such as the Obamacare Act and ongoing changes to Medicare and Medicaid benefits will continue to cause significant changes to the regulations as we know them. So they will continue to change and evolve.
Hopefully they will do so with expert voices as your own, speaking up and taking that into consideration. Our listeners might not be aware, Jane, but you were actually born, I believe, in St. Thomas, the United States Virgin Islands, but
right.
grew up in Montserrat, British West Indies. And, of course, obviously you were too young to work as a nurse during your childhood there, but do you feel that the healthcare system between the United States and the British West Indies are very different from one another in terms of regulations and how things are done, as far as you know?
Yes, they are. The British healthcare system, also known as the National Health Service System, under this system, everyone has access to exactly the same level of healthcare for free, regardless of your financial status. And that system is regulated and managed entirely by the government. The United States healthcare system, however, contains many public and private funded insurers and a high number of uninsured. It is regulated by the government and managed by the state and the federal and the private insurance companies. So where the British system is regulated entirely by the government, in the United States system, the private insurance companies have a big part of managing health care.
For certain. And I think we all know the difficulties, to say the least, that can lead to. Lastly, Jane, you've published a book fairly recently titled A Practical Guide to Qualitative Healthcare. Can you talk a little bit about the book as well as, as far as what it's regarding, but also what compelled you to publish this work?
Okay. I've worked as a director of nursing for 9 years prior to my current promotion to my current position of corporate consultant. I've worked with the same company for 9 years as a director of nursing in 5 of their facilities. As an experienced director of nursing, I often find that new and experienced nurses have strong clinical skills, but no clear understanding of the state or federal regulation governing what they do. Even our management staff at times assume that their methods of operation are in alliance with the regulations. Unfortunately, there is no class in nursing school that specifically teach the regulations. So what our staff learn is only as good as the knowledge base of the facility's educators. I set out to write this book as a simplification, summarization, and simplification of the regulations in conjunction with many of the best practices that I've seen through my years of experience to ensure that our staff understands the regulation and to ensure compliance with the regulation. In our environments, our state operation manuals and regulation and policy manuals are very thick, heavy manuals. No one ever takes the time and reads through them. So
sure.
In writing this book, I have taken the time to try and narrow down all these big, heavy books and manuals and policies. There are 10,000 of them. I've narrowed them down to one simple book that any nurse in the nursing home environment can pick up and have a clear, precise understanding of what the state is looking for in every area of the nursing home industry when they walk in and what are the potential citations and how best to avoid those citations.
Well, that's wonderful. I imagine nurses that are hearing about this who do work in that environment must be breathing a sigh of relief that, you know, someone went to the trouble and the time to compile all of this information that's, as you mentioned, you know, quite eloquently, so very important in their day-to-day operations.
Right.
That's fantastic.
I also think
when all staff
are aware of all areas of the regulation, it translates into quality care for our patients.
Absolutely. Where can our listeners find this publication currently?
Currently, it's available on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble online.
Fantastic. Congratulations on that. Once again, for listeners, the book is titled A Practical Guide to Qualitative Health Care, of course, written by our guest. I just want to say, unfortunately, sadly, we are indeed just about out of time, Jane. But truly, you've been an outstanding guest and really given us some, I think, very important insight into the behind-the-scenes issues that are occurring in these facilities. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
And thank you very much for having me on your program.
The pleasure was entirely ours. Thank you. Thank you. And once again, thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us. So until next time, this is John Rivera for iNurse Radio saying be well and bye for now.